welcome back to Crime Haven. My name's Holly. Thank you for coming back and joining us. It's been so long since I've done a podcast. May 5th. That is a long time. And I'm sorry that it's taken me this long to do a podcast, another one. I have been homeschooling my sweet kid. And I just have to say, if you already homeschooled before the pandemic, kudos to you, because really, I just am not a good teacher. I'm just going to be honest, but it's going to work out because tomorrow's the last day of school, and I'm excited about that. But back to the podcast. If you could share with your family and friends and give it a rating, that would be awesome. Also, I have something new that if you want to sponsor this podcast, there's going to be a link within the podcast that you'll be able to do that. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Today, we're going to talk about Kelsey Ann Smith. Does anybody remember this story? I remember it, but I did have to refresh my memory on her. She was a normal, good teenager who lived with her parents in Overland Park, Kansas, when she disappeared on June 2nd, 2007. Kelsey, she wanted to go to Target that day so she could pick up her boyfriend a 6-month anniversary present. That's so cute, because they were supposed to go out that evening and she wanted to pick something up for him. I remember doing that with my husband when we dated. It was so fun to get little things and gifts when you were dating. She arrived at Target and nothing was out of the ordinary. This is something that she has done before, and there is no need for her to be concerned. Her last call had been to her mom at Target. So before, that was like she was at Target and she called her mom inside Target. And then when she left the store, she disappeared. And if you know Target, you know that there's a ton of surveillance cameras. Probably, I bet, on every aisle. And then there's surveillance out in the parking lot. The surveillance footage does show Kelsey parking her car and entering the store. It also, remember, showed that she did call her mom. And she picked up several items to give to her boyfriend. But these cameras also show something else. The cameras reveal a white male, early 20s, wearing a white shirt and dark shorts. Remember, cameras are awesome because they can pick up all the details. And he came into the store about 30 seconds after Kelsey. What is so eerie? Oops, I just knocked something over. Sorry. What is so eerie is that the man seemed to be in every aisle that Kelsey was in. And he was always like at a distance. I always tell my kids to watch their surroundings. Watch when you get out of your car, or watch when you walk to your car. I know that's hard when you're a teenager. Your fear factor really isn't there. So Kelsey was probably not paying attention. And despite looking at Kelsey the entire time, and looking at her in the same direction, he never made an effort to go and talk to her. So Kelsey got her stuff and she was ready to leave. And when she went to pay for her stuff with the cashier, the man was seen leaving Target ahead of her. So they have another good picture of him leaving on surveillance camera. And you're watching the surveillance video and you're like, please don't leave the store. Please don't leave the store. Oh my gosh, because you know what's going to happen. And she was adorable and you just know what's going to happen. So in the parking lot surveillance video, it shows someone forcing Kelsey into the car. But when the police first looked at the video, you couldn't tell that somebody forced her into the car. They had to slow it down in slow motion. And then when they did, that's when they saw a flash go by of him shoving Kelsey back into the car. So it can happen that fast. It's crazy. When her parents started looking for her, they found her abandoned car at Macy's parking lot, which is across the street from Target. And inside her car was her purse, her wallet, and keys. So when last podcast I said a lot. So I must like the words and so I'm going to try to knock it off. But when the forensics team checked the car for fingerprints, the normal fingerprints were there, like her boyfriend's and her family. But there was one unidentified fingerprint that was on the seatbelt. So, you know, maybe if they found a suspect, they could identify him through that. 2 days later, unfortunately, Kelsey's body was found because of a cell phone ping that originated from that. June 2nd. But I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you scream and blow your mind. So despite the efforts of law enforcement and the FBI, it took 4 days. You heard me say that right. 4 days for Verizon Wireless to hand over cell phone records. Are you kidding me? That to me is ridiculous, especially if someone is missing. Those hours are critical that you can try to pinpoint where she is. A Verizon tech pinpointed a cell phone tower 4 days later and told investigators to search about a mile north of it. And within 45 minutes, on June 6th at 1:30, searchers discovered Kelsey's body in a wooded area near Longview Lake in Grand View, Missouri. And that's 18 to 20 miles where she had been abducted. Through their investigation, the cause of death was determined to be strangulation. She had been choked with her own belt. And the autopsy also showed that she was sexually assaulted. So, see, there's that word again. I have to Google another word for so. A man who was seen watching the footage, like watching the news footage, recognized the suspect as his neighbor. The next day, when he saw the information about the truck, he called in a tip. On the evening of June 6, 2007, police arrested 26-year-old Edwin Roy Jack Hall of Olathe, Kansas. And I probably said that wrong, so if you're from that part of Kansas, I'm so sorry. Hall was in the process of leaving town with his wife and son. You heard me say that right. He was married and had a kid. Ugh. So they were supposedly going on vacation when the police arrived. So Edwin was charged on June 7th with first-degree murder and aggravated kidnapping. He had no adult criminal record, but as a juvenile record of assault, he was adopted at age 7 and had to be returned to state custody at age 15 after threatening the family's daughter with a knife. He also assaulted another boy by striking him in the head with a baseball bat. So obviously, he has violent tendencies. Police do not believe that he knew Kelsey. And at the time of his arrest, he was married, like I told you, with a 4-year-old son. Hall, I'm going to just say his last name. Hall admitted to being a target, but claimed he had never approached Kelsey. However, he was caught in a lie when his fingerprint matched those of the seatbelt. Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. You're done. And I'm so glad that they found that fingerprint. Okay, so he was arraigned via video hookup on June 7th, and His bond was set at $5 million. August 1st, he was indicted by the Johnson County, Kansas grand jury for murder, rape, and aggravated assault. These charges made him eligible for the death penalty, which Johnson County District Attorney Phil Klein decided to seek. Because the body had been, hold on one sec. I was reading this because I typed it up and then I lost my place. Has that ever happened to you guys? Oh my goodness. It's kind of embarrassing. But let's see. Oh my goodness gracious. This is so embarrassing. Okay. So he decides to, because the body had been found in a different state, Missouri, some argued for federal jurisdiction, but because he was arrested and in custody in Johnson County, that jurisdiction had the legal authority to pursue the case. On July 23rd, as part of a plea agreement, he pled guilty to all four charges. His plea came during what was supposed to be a change of venue hearing. The courtroom was jammed with Kelsey's parents, family members, friends, and reporters. The hearing was carried live on all four Kansas City television network affiliates. So he, see, there's that word again. I'm so sorry. This was big news in Kansas. So it was all over the news. It's believed that Hall spotted Kelsey driving into the Target parking lot. After he arrived, he noticed that she was alone and thus began following her in the store to assure himself that she was not meeting anyone. When he saw her about to leave, he went to his truck and retrieved his gun. He waited until Smith was most vulnerable when she was getting ready to leave before he struck. He took her 20 miles away to the Missouri woods, where he sexually assaulted her and strangled her. The hearing came a day after a judge ruled that prosecutors could still seek the death penalty for him after a judge had denied a defense motion seeking dismissal of the case on a technicality. On September 16th, the Johnson County District Judge Peter Ruddick sentenced him to life in prison without parole for the kidnapping, rape, and murder. In court, he apologized to Kelsey's family for his actions. Okay, because they're probably going, I don't care. Whoops, I hit my microphone. I don't care. I mean, how can you apologize for taking their daughter's life? I would not ever accept anybody's apology if they murdered my kids, ever. The only good thing that came out of this event was her parents did fight for the Kelsey Smith Act. And because some believe that Verizon Wireless was reluctant to locate or ping her cell phone because of privacy laws governing such actions. And at the time, cell phone services would generally comply upon the request of the subscriber, but not to anyone else, including that of law enforcement authorities, unless a court order was issued, which takes time. I mean, it's not like TV where you can call a judge and say, I need a court order. It takes time. This led to the creation of the Kelsey Smith Act, a law that states, in essence, that cell phone companies can ping a phone if authorities determine that the subscriber is in danger. Most U.S. states have passed this law, and the United States Congress is debating federalizing it. In at least one instance, the law was acted upon in February 2015 in Lenexa, Kansas, not far from where Kelsey had grown up. A man stole a car, unaware a five-month-old infant was inside. While in flight, he also ran down a pedestrian in a hit-and-run. The police found the car a half hour later at a convenience store after having the baby's mom's phone pinged, which was still in her purse on the front seat. The driver escaped and was still at large, but they found that baby. And so that is why this law is very, very important. Okay, thank you for listening to my podcast. Sorry about the stumbles that I had losing my place. I need to do more podcasts once a week so I can get back into the groove. I hope everybody has a great week, and I will talk to you hopefully next week. Have a great day. Bye.